John Francis found his voice through silence. Others find theirs through the written word. As part of our series of essays on the writing process, essayist Roya Hakakian recalls her day of reckoning.
Not all great gambles take place around a table, in a smoky room. I made my gamble in a classroom at Brooklyn College over a decade ago. But all gambles involve a leap of faith, and so did mine. On an afternoon, circa 1990, I abandoned one language to write in another. And these were the words by which it all began. Professor Ginsberg, I'd very much like to be in your poetry class. The Allen Ginsberg lifted his head to look my way. I was far too aware that I was standing not simply across from a man, but a generation. Beats still pulsated in his air. His lips had kept their full, fleshy contour, though his unruly beard had grayed, and a stroke had ravaged half of his face. I knew as I stood before him that this moment was a rite of passage. I was not merely asking to be in his class, but also to be received into his language, to be allowed to claim it as my own. But the question I dreaded came at last. What have you got to show me? And there I placed all of my chips on the table. My book of Persian poems. I said no more. He leafed through the book, admiring the script. I was already composing the answer to what I thought he was sure to ask next. How could he possibly judge my skills if he couldn't read my stuff? But instead, with eyes brimming with all the enthusiasm in the world, he asked, "Do you know Rumi well?" I nodded. "Can you teach me how the rhythms of his ghazals work?" Now enthusiasm welled up in me. On a piece of paper, I drew a chart, categories of rhythms, and how each group of syllables created a different music. I tapped the sounds on the bench before me. Allen began to rock to and fro. His movements were slow and uncertain at first, but became fast and confident as I kept tapping and reciting the words that matched the beats. "Listen, can you hear it? Andakandak jam emaston mirasand. Ta 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 ta. Feel it?" I asked. "Groovy," he repeated, his right hand working better than a metronome. As verbal creatures, human beings believe that the significance of words is in their meaning. But there is a love for words, for their sounds, for their texture, for all their ineffable yet tangible qualities that transcend meaning. Allen and I were breathing in the air of that love on that afternoon. 2 weeks later, he had already read and commented on our first poetry assignments and was returning them to us. When he reached me, he slipped the heavily marked pages under my hand and grunted. "What in the world is going on? This thing is full of clichés." He had crossed out most of my lines. I was elated seeing his flabbergasted handwriting on my pages. "Cliché, used to death, exhausted adjective." When I took my gamble, I had worried that I'd never sound like a native, that something would have an exotic resonance in my writing, something to startle the reader, a syntactical error, an awkward usage, something to betray me, to reveal my foreignness to English. But cliché, that meant that I'd sounded too much like a native speaker. Cliché was Allen's gift. With it, he beckoned me to enter the world of his language.
Roya Hakakian's memoir of growing up Jewish in Tehran is called Journey from the Land of No, A Girlhood Caught in Revolutionary Iran.